Good morning. This is my third and final devotion. This is called "The Joy of God is Overtaking Us." Christ is a dinghy in an ocean full of dreadnoughts. He is the preacher of the plain, his woe unto yous, woefully inept at getting the drunk to come down from his bar stool, and yet he still goes on preaching. But I am a reservoir of French eye rolling, blasé, laissez-faire, nonchalant. I mainly spend my days yawning at the glory of God, a dumbass in a malaise of junk food and alcohol. But occasionally I am struck from my slumber, beaten with some kind of heavenly 2x4, by either Angel or Balaam, I cannot tell. I am home alone. I am sitting in my chair and turn on the TV to watch March Madness, and the game is garbage. Dayton versus Arizona, who cares? But out of nowhere, out of nothing, while drinking my coffee, I am punched by a sudden awareness of blackberries and grandchildren, and I behold the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, filling up my living room. A hunger and thirst which I did not earn and did not deserve is bestowed upon me, and an avalanche of the Holy Spirit crushes me to life, and exaltations of the living Christ burst from my throat. I realize right then and there that the joy of God is overtaking me. The joy of God has come for us. We cannot escape his laughter. We cannot escape his hope. He insists that the nihilists and absurdists have come to the wrong conclusions. Christ's preeminence is the end of the tyranny of meaninglessness. So, we can hold up our ordinary, complicated lives and not be afraid of the light of his all-in-allness. And while they yet remain ordinary and complicated, we now know that every moment is absolutely bursting with his presence. So, I set my face like flint, and I will not be ashamed. I stroll along like an exorcist bandying about Civil War battlefields in premium outlet malls, casting out the devils of "this world is going to hell in a handbasket." I set my eyes on a verdant field disrupted by the glory of a spring snowstorm. I set my mouth on a hot pastrami sandwich with plenty of yellow mustard and pickles. Speak plainly, hear plainly. A man of a certain age only wants a cup of black coffee with his lunch. I consider with great circumspection that the terrors of war and famine are not far from me, and I do not know what to do. I consider with awe that this is the greatest moment in history to be reading poetry. The meaning of every unknown word easily discovered with one flick of a search bar. Auspex, Ganymede, Jove. But some of us do not have time for frost. The dissolution of our various worlds demands the wringing of our hands. The politicians are in charge. The Christian right and left are at war. The Puritans and the libertines are the same. And once again, the pietist theory of change has been proven bankrupt. Young Goodman Brown's nightmare is ours the same. Hawthorne's realized despair might be supplanting our faith. But not ultimately. For which war can stand against this confession? From Sabbath to Sabbath, we hold that Christ is the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn of the dead, the image of the invisible God, the beginning and the end. We agree with our Heavenly Father's insistence that it pleased him that all his fullness would dwell in the Son, and by him everything is reconciled. This is what gives wine its flavor and meat its succulence and the strawberry its sweetness. This is what girds us up in our grief during the deconstruction of our empires and temples. Christ is not impersonal universe or string theory quantum mechanics. The King of Kings is transcendent. He is eminent and imminent, personal and particularly joyful. Toward this we set our hearts, like a cold Pennsylvania mill town, under every kind of duress, painted in weariness, in need of renewal. But we are ever patient because we have nothing to lose, and we don't know what else to do. We only have one flex. We only know how to do one thing. Trust God, trust God. 'Tis a pity, I know, but trust God. And the result is that we are fools in the world, swimming in the ecstatic oceans of grace, and we are totally and completely ignorant of how to ever quit believing.